I was chosen a little over a year ago to participate in a leadership program that is called Homeward Bound, and it's organized out of Australia. It's a global leadership program for women in science, and the vision is to train 1,000 women in science in leadership around climate change over a decade. So I will be in the third year of 10 of women who are traveling to Antarctica for a sort of a capstone project at the end of this 12-month leadership program.
Wow. I would imagine you're going to bring a pretty unique perspective coming from Alaska, which is experiencing climate change pretty obviously.
I think that's true. I think the polar extremes do have a little different perspective on how real climate change is in the day-to-day. There are a number of women from Iceland as well on this trip and someone from Copenhagen, so I'm not the only northern latitude person who'll be going to Antarctica, but there are many people are aware of climate change, but I do think people in the northern regions are aware of it in a more immediate day-to-day way.
How does your profession, your concentration in the sciences, medicine, relate to, how does climate change relate to that?
That's certainly one of the things that I'm grappling with as a leader on this project. It's definitely true that climate change has a big impact on human health, and we see more insect vectors, for example, expanding their range, and so diseases such as Zika and malaria or West Nile virus are more a risk to northern climates than they were even just a few years ago before the climate was warming to allow those insects to move into new territories. And I think particularly in Alaska, some of the other human effects we see are the effect of climate increasing wildfires, and so the habitat destruction and the effect that has on people's ability to have subsistence foods, for people's ability to grow foods, and the amount of pulmonary disease, lung disease that we see related to smoke and wildfire is definitely a big impact in human health. And I think one thing that is maybe a little bit under-recognized is particularly in Alaska, in our coastal communities, the numbers of communities that are affected by coastal erosion and the disruption of whole villages that need to move and relocate, and the stress that that has on individuals and communities in terms of mental and psychological health is very significant. And I think that also ties directly to climate change.
Mm-hmm. You sound very driven to pursue this. What is that drive? Where does that come from?
I've done a lot of advocacy for individual patients over time, and that drive to help make people's lives better on an individual basis continues to be strong. But I've been in practice for 20 years, and I think I'm sort of having a little bit of midlife, mid-career reflection about, is there more I could be doing? How does this relate to the big picture? So this is kind of a time where I'm thinking bigger than just my one individual patient and thinking about the bigger, the community at large, really.
Mm-hmm. So what are you looking forward to the most?
I think I really am looking forward to having a lot of dedicated time to work with a group of women who are high-powered and really motivated to think about climate change and how do we pursue solutions and how do we communicate with our communities back home. And I think there's a lot that I will learn from this group of people. And being in Alaska, where I'm relatively isolated from a larger scientific community, I think that will really be a treat for me to be in close contact with so many scientists.
Well, I'm definitely going to be following you online, and we'll post a link to how to do that as well. And gosh, best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm sure I will have more to say once I've actually been there, so I'd be happy to continue this conversation once I get back home.